So, I want you to declare with me. Father.
Father.
I thank you that I have eyes.
I thank you that I have eyes.
And they see.
And they see.
I have ears.
I have ears.
They truly do hear.
They truly do hear.
And you hear me.
And you hear me.
And I know.
And I know.
That I hear you.
That I hear you.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And my heart does perceive.
And my heart does perceive.
You're on my case.
You're on my case.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to just take you to where the Lord had me this morning. Because I was searching for a scripture. And I ended up looking at the wrong verse. You know how you make a mistake when you speak? Because I was looking to see how the wording was in the Passion Translation, and how I got to 2 Corinthians 5, only God knows, but that's where I landed. But we're going to start in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 5, 1. Excuse me. 5:1 says, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed," that's as far as I want you to go. Because when you're going to a funeral, that's what you're focused on, the destruction of the earthly tent, the earthly building that we're living in. But I want to back up to verse 16 of chapter 4. You see, he says loud and clear, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away." So if you look in the mirror when you get older, you see all kinds of discoveries that you didn't have when you were 20. The older you get, you have more and more reminders that outwardly something's going on. There's a comma after that, and it says, "Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day."
Amen.
So inwardly is where all the action is. Outwardly is where the failures are showing up. And you see a challenge when you're looking in the mirror. But when you're looking at your goal, which is heaven, it's not depressing. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
You're renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, momentary. I can tell you that there has been times in my life that those momentary troubles lasted for years. And as I was sharing with you earlier, with this young man, his troubles, I would say, lasted 27 or more years. And finally, somehow, some way, God decided to just crash in on his parade and brought him to life in himself. So what you and I would say is a momentary trouble, momentary is not necessarily a few moments. And I've lived some of those things where I've wondered, "God, where are you? Are you sleeping?" But he wasn't sleeping. He was on the job. Okay? "They're achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So there's momentary troubles achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of the troubles. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. Now, take a pause there. On Sunday afternoon, my wife and I went over to my brother's house, apartment, and the four girls were there. So they decided that they were going to put me to the test. They had some questions, but they weren't going to ask the questions until I answered their questions. And they went one after the other after the other. And it was all about the realm of the spirit. And I don't talk about that usually with the family because there's too much controversy. Anybody know about that? Sometimes you just don't speak because you don't like the war that comes from the earthly realm. Amen?
Amen.
So rather than cause ripples, it's so much easier just to shut down and let them think whatever they think and believe whatever they believe. Well, Uncle, can you hear in the realm of the spirit? I said, yes, you can. Well, how do you know? So I kind of pondered for a moment, and of course, I've got my wife right next to me. She knows a few things that I have had over the years, but I would say about 95% or 97% I keep to myself. The reason for that is I don't enjoy persecution. I don't never got used to it yet. And even from those that you love the most, you can have more hurt from those that you love than anyone else. And I'm not picking on my wife. I'm just telling you, that's a fact, okay? And I know why Mary held secrets in her heart, because I don't think Joseph caught on. I don't think so. I could be totally wrong. But I have that sense that inside her heart, she held on to these things, and she might have had a little bit of communication with her mom and with her cousin Elizabeth. And I have a few people that I can share with, but not openly most of the time, because, again, I don't like persecution. Do I get any amen?
Amen.
Okay. So if I can avoid it, when I'm the one that's in the control room, then I avoid it. So, I shared about visions, I shared about dreams, I shared about this and that. And now they're pressuring me for a little more. And one of them, obviously, was really hurting. I mean, this entire whole situation for her, all four of them were hurting, but one, I would say, had maybe 80% more challenges going on inside her heart. I can say that one of the others was riding on a wave of grace beyond her understanding. She says, I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm doing, but I am so happy even when mom is gone. And it didn't make sense to the others. Another one was flowing in and out of grace, in and out of mercy. So now they're nailing me to the wall, basically. And I have that sense that I better open up because, you know, I'm here to help. I'm not here to be fearful of persecution, if that makes any sense. So I shared about my experience with my crisis of faith. And when I cried out for solid gold, how the Lord allowed me to see St. Paul in front of me for over an hour and a half. It did not stop. It was continuous. It was hearing and seeing and actually participating and not recognizing that the Lord was in the vision in the background, and I never focused on him. I was so amazed at watching St. Paul. Well, obviously, I went into a lot of details because I had a sense that it was needed. I know that it had an impact on my wife because I had never gone to that degree and shared to that degree. Long story short, recognizing also that God was showing me that traditional churches and people teaching, which is your vision, men's teaching and God's word is at this time acceptable and doable because God is not doing anything about it yet. But he is going to do something. Amen. He's not going to let men get away with their own traditions and passing it off as his.
Amen.
And I went into that. And I said my crisis of faith was very simple. This theology of escape mentality had to be completely washed away, and I didn't want to get rid of it because it was comfortable. And I know that many, even in my family, believe that the escape stuff is wonderful. So I was on maybe calling it shaky ground. Okay? And I said to the Lord, I'm going to just tell him. You can hear in the spirit. You can see in the spirit. You can smell in the spirit. It is all available to you because if you would only get serious. If you would only get serious. So, chapter 4. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 1:5. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose. It is not your plan, it's his. God has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. You see, explaining the loss of a loved one is a tough call. So I got done explaining quite a few things. It lasted for a good half hour, 20 minutes. And then my niece said, I have 4 boys. And the oldest had a dream. He was stunned because in the dream he saw his grandmother, which is Nicole. She was approximately 30 years old, smiling and full of joy beyond anything he's ever seen in his lifetime, because he never saw her at 30. But definitely saw pictures. So she put her paper down after I had spoken, read what she had from her son, and she says, it just confirms and reconfirms. And I said, and how do you feel? She says, I can't explain it. I just can't explain it. And the next level came as my wife and I imparted to all 4 of the girls and my brother the gifts that the Lord has given us. There was all kinds of responses. I'm not going to go into details, but I want you to know that my sister-in-law's celebration was a celebration of life. It wasn't a funeral. It was a celebration of watching how God had taken all of their daughters and their son-in-laws, brought them to Jesus, and every one of the children loved Jesus. All I can tell you is, I hunger for that in my own house. Amen. I hunger for it, and I want more. And I'd like to have an assurance of, you know, do it yesterday, Lord, so I can enjoy it.
Amen.
Okay? Do I get any amen?
Amen.
Do it yesterday so I can enjoy it. And that's just being honest now. Mm-hmm. Now, there's one more scripture. I could go on there, but the deposit you've got, right? Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 6, he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." He doesn't say he'll be my kid. He'll not say, "I'll be a baby." He said, "Son." And the sonship message, the house of God, the church of the Lord, advertises that they are. But they're a mixed up group of people that are stuck in men's traditions. And I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm not trying to hide behind a bush. I am saying that the sonship message is what Paul preached from beginning to end. And that's why God gave me that incredible impact in my heart. That's what I was fighting. I was fighting the ideas that men teach. And I was unable to discern until he provided solid gold. And he was showing me, because many, many times I asked, "Why did you show me Paul? I never asked to see St. Paul. I asked to see you, Lord." But you see, St. Paul had the revelation from Jesus to make sure that people in Christianity would not be babies when they go home. He wanted sons. That's the word. Sons, adult sons in God.
Amen. Amen.
I know this is a little tough, but it's a reality check. I know that my sister-in-law has no real issues to deal with the Lord, because she was ready. When she came a few weeks ago and we went to that Chinese restaurant, she was the happiest girl. And my wife, after she left, she says, "You know, I can't believe how much energy she's got compared to when we had been there a few weeks before when she was almost gone." But God revitalized her so she could complete the mission that she was looking to do. And you see, the body ministry that we did together for many, many years, we were together in multiples of occasions. Their youngest daughter was baptized at Grace Church of Christ, and I had the privilege of baptizing her there. What am I saying? We've had some incredible, joyful moments, and now we await the next level. I'm not going home yet. I've got work to do, and she knew she had work to do, and she shared some of it with me. Not to brag, it's just we had that kind of intimacy. So would you bow your heads and say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
let this truth,
be a press for me,
so that I will not be cowardly,
I will not be unbelieving,
I will not be vile, and I will not be a murderer,
and I will not be immoral.
And I will not practice magic arts.
I will not be a part of idolatry.
Or the liars.
Because that's been prepared.
With those who are to be destroyed.
In the lake of fire.
And the burning sulfur.
Which is the second death.
Which is verse 8 that I just quoted for you. You see, the fearful, I mean cowardly, the fearful are not going to enter heaven. So get your act together. Get out of the fearful and cowardly position and start acting on what you know is truth. And I know that's not easy to digest. Oh, I'm afraid. Didn't you sign a commitment to eradicate fear out of your life?
Amen.
By the way, when I was at Carol and Claude's house with their daughter from New Hampshire, the Holy Spirit had me bring those papers that. So I brought that out. And their daughter declared her covenant of fear broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. I can only tell you that Carol was weeping openly, and Claude had a smile from ear to ear. So that was another great moment. I tell you, this trip was so intense. And on the way home, Irene and I cried because I told you guys, the French music was bringing back some incredible memories and some different parts of our life, bringing healing to both of us. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
you're on. Take me to sonship.
Take me to sonship.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Well.